Betin. In Luke chapter 18, I want to read just a verse of scripture here. This is something that Jesus said, and one of the things that we always have to look at is we look at the words of Jesus, the words that are in red, because when Jesus is speaking to us, we really got to take these words on board. And if you look at it here in verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And you know what the scripture tells us, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the scripture tells us that we are supposed to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And yet Jesus asks a question, and he says, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Now we have this concept sometimes when we think about faith, and we think about, you know, a set of beliefs. You know, we belong to the Christian faith. That's not what he's talking about. Somebody else belongs to the Muslim faith. That's not what he's talking about. What he's actually talking about is an active belief in our God, that our God will meet all our needs, that our God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. But here's the key. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And the question really needs to be for you and I is, will he find it in me? Will he find it in you? Will he find faith when he comes? And really, I suppose, there should have been a thunderous, yes, amen, he will find it in me. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if we're going to be people of God, we need to be people of faith. But you know, when we talk about faith, faith is not something that lies dormant, or faith is not passive. Faith should always be active. And you know, you should never have to look at somebody and ask yourself, is that a person of faith? Because if you have to look at them and try and scrutinize to see if they're a person of faith, then they probably aren't. Because faith should always be evident. And when you read through the scriptures, and I know there's loads and loads of people in the scriptures, and they've got it wrong at different times, but you know what? There were always people of action. There were always people that you knew their faith, or you seen their faith by the way they acted. And I want you to look with me in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I want to talk about faith in action. Faith in action. James chapter 2. Look with me here in verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? And James here is going into a little bit of detail about faith. And what he's actually saying here is that faith that doesn't produce any results, or doesn't produce any action, or doesn't produce any works, is actually dead faith. Because he said faith without works is dead. Let me show it to you here from the Complete Jewish Bible, because it says it just a little bit different. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no actions to prove it? Is such faith able to save him? And you see, you know, if you ask people sometimes, are you a person of faith? A lot of times people say, yeah, I'm a person of faith. But if there's no action that goes along with it, the scripture here says, can that person's faith save him? Is it able to deliver you out of where you are? And the answer, the implied answer here is no, it isn't. Because he just told us that if we don't have faith, that it's dead. Our faith is dead. Watch where I'm going. So the implied answer here is no. He says here in verse 15 and 16, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Again, in the Complete Jewish Bible, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. And someone says to them, "Shalom, keep warm and eat hearty," without giving them what he needs, what good does it? What good does it do? And you know, the reality of it is, we're people supposedly of faith. We're a faith church. And you know, one of the things that we do as a faith church is we speak over people, don't we? We speak blessing over them. And we tell them to be blessed, and we tell them to be encouraged, and we tell them all the rest of it. But he's saying here, is what's the point in speaking positive over somebody? What's the point in speaking a blessing over somebody if there's no actions that go along with it? And you see, that's what happens in a lot of the modern church, is that we speak blessings over people. We wish that you keep warm and well fed. Or sometimes even we might go a little bit further. Let me pray with you. But it's not about what we say, it's about what we do. Because he says if we say that we have faith and have no corresponding action and we don't follow through with it, then our faith is dead. It's of no value. And so he's shown the difference here between what people call faith and what is real faith. Shown the difference here between what people call faith and real faith. And real faith always has a corresponding action. And you see that as we go through the scriptures. Every time you see somebody who was a person of faith, they always acted in faith. They were never passive. They never just stood idly by and watched things happening. What they did was they made things happen. And I'll show you just in a few moments. So then he says in the next verse, in verse 17, he says, "Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead." Faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. And you see, you can think or you can believe that you have all the faith that you like. But if there's no action that goes along with it, he says it's dead faith. Whenever you see somebody who has faith, they always act under faith. Amen. Amen. They always act under faith. You'll see this in a moment. Faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. So this kind of faith without actions is dead. And this is something the scripture calls dead faith. Dead faith. Let me just say this when we're doing this. This is not a negative. I know maybe you're not saying amen or whatever. But this is actually not negative. Do you know why? Because if it helps us to identify where we are and helps us to change, it's always a good thing, isn't it? If it helps us to identify where we are and helps us to change, it's always a good thing. And so he says, a faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. It says, but someone will say that you have faith and I have actions. Show me this faith of yours without the actions, and I will show you my faith by my actions. So he says here, someone will say that you have faith and I have actions. Show me this faith of yours without the actions, and I will show you my faith by my actions. And you see, the mentality here is, you know, you're into works, you're into actions, but I'm into faith. But what he actually tells us here is that you show me your faith without your actions. How could you show somebody faith without actions? It's not possible. It is not possible to show somebody faith without action. Faith always has a corresponding action. And what he says is, you show me your faith. And how would you show somebody your faith if you didn't do anything? He says, you show me your faith without your actions. And he says, I will show you my faith by my actions. Watch the way I stand on the word. Watch the way I believe. Watch what I do. So show me this faith of yours without actions, and I'll show you my faith by my actions. And you see, this is the big problem in the modern church. People are so into faith and into believing. You know, I'm just believing God. I'm standing on the word, I'm believing God. Yeah, but what are you doing? What action are you doing? And you see, there always has to be a corresponding action. And this will become clearer to you as we go through this. People say, don't judge me, I have faith. Ever heard that one? I have my own faith between me and God. Don't judge me. But the reality of it is, if you have your own faith between you and God, it'll still be seen in your actions. It'll still be seen in the way you act, by the way it's outworked in your life. And so people say, don't judge me. I have my faith. But James tells us here, if this is real, living faith, there will always be a corresponding action. You will always see somebody's faith by their actions, or there will always be evidence of it. So he says, show me this faith without the actions. And the implication here, what he's trying to say is you can't. You can't show faith without actions. You can't. It's not possible. It's not possible to show faith without actions. The reason I said that we're reading from the complete Jewish Bible here is because the King James uses the word works. And you know, we don't believe we work for our salvation. That's not what he's talking about. We have this mentality when we talk about works that he's talking about the works of the law. He's not talking about the works of the law. What he's talking about, faith must have a corresponding action. There's no point in saying that you have faith if there's no action that goes along with it. Just a real simple example. You know, if I was to say to you, you know, I really believe that if I lay hands on you tonight, you'll get healed. And you say, will you pray for me? Nope. So what's the point in believing that then? You know, if you're going to believe it, then just go ahead and do it. Do you understand? So it has to be. There has to be a corresponding action. There has to be an action that goes along with it. So faith must have a corresponding action. The word works here in the King James is ergon. It's the Greek word ergon. It means action, behavior, or something done. Verse 19. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You believe there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, how many of you know that the devils are believers? The devils are believers. There's not one atheist devil, you know that? Or agnostic devil. They're all believers. The complete Jewish Bible says you believe that God is one. Good. Good for you. The demons believe it too, and the thought makes them shudder with fear. That's a good verse, isn't it? You believe that God is one. Good for you. The demons believe it too, and the thought makes them shudder with fear. As I said, there's no atheist demons. You know, there's not even one evil spirit that's just not sure. Right? They're all believers, but their belief in God will not save them. Because their faith doesn't have a corresponding action. Their belief doesn't have a corresponding action. Just saying you believe is not enough. And then he goes on here. Not one evil spirit, that's just not sure. It says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without actions is dead. Faith without actions is dead. And the reason why we're talking about this here is because we believe the word of God. We believe the word of God is true. And you know, the scripture here told us that even the demons believe, but at least they shudder in fear. But sometimes we call ourselves believers. We say we believe the word of God. We say that we believe different things. But if we believe them, there should be a corresponding action. There should be an action that goes on within us that causes us to act on the word. It causes us to do what the word of God says. Has to be a corresponding action. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by actions when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? And you know, Abraham, we know, was known as the father of faith. And the scripture tells us of Abraham when God said to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him on the mountain that I will show thee of. And you know, the very next morning, Abram got up and he took his son Isaac and he brought him to Mount Moriah. And the scripture tells us because he knew that God was able even to raise him again from the dead. And you see, he believed something. He believed something. And because he believed something, he set a course of action that he was going to take his son, that he was going to bring his son to Mount Moriah, that he was going to sacrifice him there, because the scripture says that he believed God was even able to raise him again from the dead. Now that's faith. Faith had a corresponding action. Because if he was to say, well, you know, I believe God can do it, but I ain't going. There would be no action. How would you know that he believed? And so it says, was not Abraham our father justified by his actions when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? How do we know Abraham had faith? Because he acted and he offered. We don't have to guess whether Abraham had faith or not. He proved it by what he did. And then down in verse 26 it says, just as the body without a spirit is dead, so too faith without actions is dead. And he's making a point here that we live in the body. And within this body is a spirit. And it's the spirit man is the real us. And it's the spirit man that animates, if you like, our body. The fact that we're moving around and we're able to do all the things that we do is because we've got a real live living spirit on the inside of us. But how many of you know when the spirit leaves somebody, their body is dead and their body doesn't move anymore? Well, he's making the same point here. He said, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so too faith without action is dead. And if there's no action, then it's dead faith. If there's no action, it's dead faith. There always has to be action. So your spirit expresses itself through the body, and we see you moving. Even so, faith expresses itself in actions that we can see. If we want a manifestation of God in the natural realm, then what we believe in the spirit realm, which is our faith, what we believe in the spirit realm, which is our faith, must be manifested here in the natural realm by our actions. If we want to see a supernatural move of God, then what we believe in the spirit realm must be seen in the natural realm by our actions. In other words, we have to act on what we believe. It's not just a matter of believing something. We've got to act on it. Boy, it's real quiet in here tonight. So there must be action, and this is all the way through the Bible. People of faith acting on what they believe. Whenever you see a miracle in the Bible, it's because somebody did something to bring about a manifestation of what they believe from the spirit realm into the natural realm. And you remember one time Jesus, he spoke to this man with the withered hand. It's in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. And he says to the man, stretch forth thine hand. So what did the guy do? Stretched forth his hand. Sit idly by and do nothing. Say, well, I believe if I stretch it forth that it'll be healed. He actually did it. He stretched forth his hand, and it says that as he stretched forth his hand, it was healed. You see, his faith had a corresponding action. And because his faith had a corresponding action, he was healed. I want to look in Mark chapter 5. This is the woman with the issue of blood, and I want to show you a few things from this. And I preached on this last week in Armagh, but God has shown me a few things more this week as I was thinking about this. Well, here we see this woman with the issue of blood. And we'll read here from Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, this was a woman here with an issue of blood, and the scripture tells us that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And if you can imagine just the scene for a moment, and when we read on, it tells us more things, that she spent all her money and spent everything she had on physicians and was nothing better but grew worse and so on. But if you can imagine this lady for a moment, who had this issue of blood for 12 years, hemorrhaging basically, bleeding to death for 12 years. Because of the situation that she lived in, she wasn't allowed to go out in public because she was unclean. She wasn't allowed to touch other people because she was unclean. I'm sure because of her infirmity, because of this hemorrhaging, I'm sure she was weak. I'm sure the last thing that was on her mind was that she wanted to go out where she had to shout continually, unclean, unclean. But yet the scripture says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press. And I would say this lady was probably so sick that she didn't want to go out. She was probably so sick that she didn't want to go out. She was probably mortified. She always had to shout, unclean, unclean. I'm sure when she went out and when she did that, there were people who judged her because back in those days, they would have thought, you know, the reason you're sick is because God is punishing you. You must have done something wrong in your life. You must have done something wrong. God is punishing you. You're under the judgment of God. And so all these things are going on in her life. And she heard about Jesus, And because she heard about Jesus, she began to act. So the question is, firstly, how did this lady get healed? How did she get healed? Well, here's the first thing. The first reason she got healed is because she left the house. The first reason she got healed is because she left the house. Because she actually got up out of her situation, got up out of her condition, got up out of the trouble she was in, the pain she was in, the discomfort that she was in, the embarrassment that she was in. She got up and done something. And you know what's amazing to me sometimes is you hear people of faith and you hear about people who believe in healing and believe in different things. And where are you on a Sunday? Oh, I was at home in bed. Well, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to leave the house. You understand? You got to leave the house. You got to do something. You think this lady felt like going anywhere? You think she felt like it? I wonder what it would have been like to have been hemorrhaging for 12 years and was nothing better but grew worse. But she heard about Jesus and she says, I'm going. And I have to be honest, you know, in the last couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I've seen a couple of different pastors who supposedly believe in healing. And I was reading their Facebook, and on Sunday morning, I'm missing the church this morning because I'm laying at home in bed because I'm sick. And I'm thinking, well, the very first thing you need to do is you need to leave the house. You need to go where God is moving. You need to get up and do something and believe God. Faith must have a corresponding action. And so firstly, she got healed by not staying at home. She left the house. Her faith caused her to act, and she went to Jesus. And she was in a bad way when she left the house. And then she went to where Jesus was, and there was a massive crowd there. Massive crowd there, the Bible says. Crowds thronging Jesus. But you know, when she got to where Jesus was, she didn't say, that's it, I give up. I thought he'd be here on his own. Just sit on the side of the road and wait till the crowd's gone. She didn't do that. The Bible says she pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the crowd. You see, her faith had a corresponding action. Her faith got her firstly to leave the house, to go to where Jesus was. But when she encountered the crowd, she didn't sit back and go, that's it, I give up. She pressed in. And she pressed through the crowd until she got to Jesus. And sometimes when we say that we believe God for something, the very first thing we need to do is we need to leave the house. The second thing we need to do is, even though we come across stumbling blocks, even though there's certain things maybe that's in our path, we need to decide, you know what, I'm pressing through. I'm pressing on. Nothing's going to stop me from reaching my destination, from reaching my goal. I'm going to lay hold of Jesus. And so here's the massive crowd. She wasn't supposed to go into crowds. But she didn't sit down and cry, and she didn't quit. She pressed through. As I said, do you think she felt like leaving the house? Do you think she felt like pressing through the crowd? Do you think she felt like leaving the house? Do you think she felt like pressing through the crowd? Well, the question is, why did she do it? Why did she put herself through all that? And the reason why she did was because she had faith. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And so her faith confession was, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. But her action was, I'm leaving the house, and even though there's a crowd, the crowd's not going to stop me. I'm going to press through the crowd. I'm going to press through the obstacle. I'm going to press through the barrier. And I'm not letting go until I have an encounter with Jesus. That's faith in action. Faith in action. She believed something would happen. And you see, we're talking again, sorry, about when the reason why she left the house and the reason why she pressed through the crowd is because she believed something was going to happen. And you don't do those things if you believe nothing's going to happen. You don't do those things if you believe nothing is going to happen. The only reason why she did this was because she believed. She says, if I may but touch him. And then she persevered until she had an encounter with Jesus. She believed healing was there. She believed if she did something or actions to get to Jesus, she would be made whole. And it happened. In verse 29, it says, and straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up. and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. You see, her faith had a corresponding action, and when she acted on her faith, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and immediately she was healed. Immediately the blood dried up. As soon as she touched the hem of his garment, power flowed from her, from him into her. Healed her problem. Stopped the hemorrhage. Something that no doctor or treatment was able to do for 12 years. But as soon as she touched him, she felt in her body that she had been healed. Her faith had a corresponding action that brought her to her healing. It says in verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Or who touched my clothes? And you see, what happened with this lady here was probably still embarrassed. And she came and she touched the hem of Jesus' garments, and immediately she felt that she was healed, that the blood stopped, but she just tried to slip back into the crowd again where nobody would notice her. But Jesus didn't want to let her go. And he knew that virtue had gone out of him, and he turned him about in the press and he said, who touched my clothes? And then she came and told him what happened. But when she came and told him what happened, I want you to notice something here. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Now I want you to understand something here. He didn't say, daughter, you're blessed that God has decided to heal you right now. Did he say that? He didn't say, boy, this is your lucky day. You just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and bam, there it is. Just happened to be in a healing mood. Did he say that? No. He didn't say, God in his sovereignty decided, you know, it was time you were healed. Did he say that? No. Did he even say, the anointing that's on me today has made you whole? No. What did he say? Thy faith. Well, how was her faith evidenced? By her actions. Her faith was evidenced by her actions. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Notice he didn't say, my faith. You know, Jesus wasn't even having a healing meeting here. He was just walking down the road. This wasn't a healing service. Jesus wasn't out looking for people to heal. He was walking along the road. The crowds were thronging him, and she comes in the press and she touched the hem of his garment. And he didn't say, boy, you're lucky that we're having a healing meeting today, and you know, just the power of God was flowing and virtue went out from me and you just happened to be the one. No, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. She didn't even ask him if she could get healed. She didn't ask for permission. She didn't ask if it was a good time. She didn't even ask if it was God's will. None of those. Didn't ask him for healing. Didn't ask him if it was a good time. Didn't ask him if it was the will of God. She laid hold of him by faith. And when she laid hold of him by faith, immediately the scripture says that she was healed. Or basically she came and took it. Because she was saying to herself, if I touch him, I'll get it. She had faith. How do we know she had faith? Because of what she did. We know she had faith because of what she did. We know she had faith because of her actions. Her faith had a corresponding action. And you see, one of the big problems today with people is people are waiting. People are waiting. They're waiting for God to move. They're waiting for God to do something. And oh God, in your time that you'll touch me. In your God, when it's your time, God, you'll heal me. When the time is right, when the conditions are right, when the circumstances are right, when the anointing is right. And we're always waiting for something. But God would say to you today, not to wait on him, because he's actually waiting on us. That's what God would say to you right now. We're not waiting on God. God has already moved. God has already done everything that he's going to do for us in Christ Jesus. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And what we are supposed to do is we're supposed to lay hold of the finished work of Christ by faith. And too many people are waiting on God and waiting on a move of God. And God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to reach out by faith. He's waiting on our faith that we say that we have to have a corresponding action and to lay hold of God and to get up and leave the house. And when we encounter an obstacle, say, that obstacle is not going to stop me, because today is the day I'm going to get my miracle. Today is the day I'm going to have my encounter. Today is the day God's going to move in my life. And see, stop waiting on God. Because that's what we're good at, isn't it? Waiting on God. And God would say to you, you're not waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. Let me ask you a question. Who initiated this woman's healing? She did it herself. She initiated the healing herself. Jesus wasn't aware of what was going on. Jesus was just walking down the street. And she came and touched him. But when she touched him, the virtue went out from him and she was healed. And Jesus was surprised. He felt the virtue leaving him. And he was surprised and he looked about to see who had done this thing. And he says, who touched me? See, she initiated it. As I said, Jesus wasn't there having a healing ministry. He wasn't there having a healing service. This wasn't a healing revival. This was Jesus out for a walk. And this woman laid hold of him by faith. And you see, who initiated the healing? She did. Her faith. And one of the biggest problems today is we have that Pharisaic mindset that refuses to believe that she initiated herself. And that's the reason why people are so intent on waiting on God, because they don't understand that in order to receive from God, you have to initiate it yourself. In order to receive from God, you've got to act on the faith that you have. Faith must have a corresponding action. And say, Father, if you say it, I believe it, that settles it, and I'm laying hold of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And do whatever it takes to get to that place. And so he says to her here, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And you see, again, from a religious mindset, people think, but that was Jesus. I mean, come on. I mean, when she had an encounter with Jesus, of course. And the answer is, yes, it was. And then people say, yeah, and also it was because of the anointing, because, you know, the anointing was on him. And the answer to that is, yes, it was. But here's the key. Jesus didn't say, good job you came to me, now you're healed. Jesus didn't say, it's a good job I'm anointed, that's why you're healed. Jesus said, your faith. Your faith. Your faith. He didn't say, me, it's a good job you came to me. He didn't say, it's a good job there's an anointing on my life. He said, your faith has made you whole. People say it was because it was Jesus, and that's true. People say, well, it was because of the anointing, and that's also true. The disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You see, if it was only about touching Jesus, if it was only about the anointing that was on Jesus' life, then how come the whole multitude wasn't made whole? Because he said they're all touching him. You see, we try and take the supernatural out of our heart. I mean, of course she was going to get healed. She touched Jesus. Of course she was going to get healed. Sure, the anointing was on his life. Well, how come all the rest of them didn't get healed then? Because she acted in faith. And her faith had a corresponding action. And her faith began earlier in the day when she made a decision, I am getting out of this house. I'm getting out of this situation. I'm getting out of this circumstance. And nothing is going to stop me until I lay hold of Jesus and until I am whole of my plague. And she encountered difficulties probably along the way. I wonder what she did encounter along the way. If this lady was like this for 12 years, I'm sure she was well known in the community, because every time she went out, she shouted, unclean, unclean. She was probably well known. I wonder, as she left the house that morning, did some of the kids in the street hurl abuse at her? Did some of the neighbors that she knew, did they look down on her and despise her? Some of the real religious people they weren't allowed to touch anything unclean, because if they touched something unclean, it made them unclean for 7 days, and they had to go through a ceremonial cleansing before they themselves could go into the temple. I wonder, did she meet some religious people and said, "Hi, excuse me, stay away from me, because you just make me unclean." See, we don't know what she encountered along the way, but one thing we do know is she did not quit until she got to Jesus. Her faith had a corresponding action. And regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what was going on, she went until she met Jesus. And it wasn't just because it was Jesus. And it wasn't just because of the anointing, as we said, because then they all would have got healed. But her faith had a corresponding action. For she said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole." And it says, as soon as she touched him, that virtue went out of him, and she was immediately felt she was healed. Amen. It took more than the will of God. It took more than the will of God. See, this is a hard pill to swallow for religious people. Well, if it's God's will, I'll get healed. Well, it took more than the will of God. Do you know what it took? It took her faith and going and acting on it. Because the reality of it is, healing is the will of God for each of us. That's what the scripture says. When they came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, I can be whole." Jesus said, "I'm willing, be whole." So we already know he's willing. But it wasn't enough that it was the will of God. She still needed to act in faith. She still needed to go and do something. She still needed to stretch out and touch the hem of his garment. So it took more than the will of God, because it is the will of God, but we have to act in faith. We have to ask ourselves the question then, is the faith that we have, is it living faith? Or as James said, is it dead faith? And as I said earlier, this is not a put down. But we've got to check and see where we're at sometimes. As we used to say, check the spiritual temperature and see where we're at. And when we do that, we're able to move on and we're able to have a corresponding action to our faith, and we're able to see our breakthroughs, and we're able to see different things that go on. So we have to ask ourselves if what we have is living faith. And if not, now we know how to fix it. Our faith must have a corresponding action. See, we're into a lot of stuff sometimes in the modern church. We're into keeping our confession right. Many of you like to keep your confession right. We like to speak the word of God over ourselves. We like to check and see if our love walk is right. And all those things are good. But if our faith doesn't have a corresponding action, James says our faith is dead. It's a waste of time per se, because it's actually not producing anything. And we're believing for something and we're producing nothing. But in order for our faith to be a living faith, we need to start acting on our faith. We need to start putting our faith into action. Faith must have a corresponding action. And all the way through the Bible, when we see people receive something from God, their faith always had an action that went with it. And James here in James chapter 2 and verse 26 says, "Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so too faith without actions is dead." And I just really wanted to introduce this tonight. We're going to talk about it for the next few weeks. And we're going to talk about faith in action. And we're going to go back and look at people in the scriptures. And we're going to see how they acted under faith. And how, when they acted under faith, how they seen the manifestation of what they were believing for. Many of you want to have a real living faith. One or two anyway. Many of you want to have a real living faith. Many of you want to be able to believe God for something and follow it through and see the manifestation and see the miracle power of God and see the very thing that we're believing for come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and we'll close with a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you and bless you for your word tonight, Father. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, Father God, that you haven't given us something that's broken, Father. You have given us real, living, active faith. But we pray, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would teach us how to walk in faith. That you would teach us, Lord God, always how to have a corresponding action. To put our faith into actions, Father God, and to see the manifestation of God. And Father, we believe in you this year, Father God, that we will see greater manifestation. that we will see, Father God, the things that we're believing for come to pass. And as we see them, Father God, we'll give you and you alone the glory for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to thank you and praise you for everyone bowed in your presence tonight, Father. And Lord, we just ask, Lord God, as we go up from here, that you will take your word and write it upon our hearts. Father God, that as you write your word upon our hearts, Father God, that we will act in faith. And Lord God, that we will have a new manifestation. We will have a new, deeper relationship with you, Father. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory to God.